What is up, everybody? We are back again with another edition of the Crossing Routes podcast, fueled by FTN Fantasy. My name is Herms. We are typically joined by my co-host Tyler O, but unfortunately, he is out of the office this week. So, for this week's episode, I recruited two of my favorite friends throughout the fantasy industry to help me talk about some training camp storylines. We're finally into that part of the calendar, folks. The NFL is officially back, and we have so many different position battles and situations to parse through. So, enjoy part one of our two-part conversation about training camp storylines with me, Jeff Crisco from Football Absurdity, and my friend Wyatt Bertolone from Player Profiler, DLF, and Fantasy Alarm. And one of the situations that I would like to start with is the quarterback battle in Indianapolis with the Colts. I'm mostly curious between each of you. Wyatt, we'll start first with you because we discussed this on your show, actually. Where are you kind of at with the Colts quarterback situation? And is there a particular outcome that you are rooting for over the other?
I still think it's going to be Daniel Jones to start the season. And as long as he can keep the Colts competitive, I don't think he loses the job. If they, you know, he starts out the season, they go 1-5, like they'll pull him, I'm sure. I think the best case scenario for everything would be Anthony Richardson being fully healthy and like flipping the switch, you know, kind of like what Bryce Young did. But I also think that's really, really unlikely. I think that's like a very low percent chance of all of those things happening. You know, the shoulder injury, they say he's recovered now, like, sure, recovered right now, but like this is a shoulder injury that's been lingering and bothering him for a long time. I'm not sure that that's just like going to go away. And I think Daniel Jones has the leg up on him at this point. So I would expect still for Daniel Jones to go in as the starter to start the season. And it's basically his job to lose at that point.
Yeah, I definitely see that for sure, especially because as you alluded to, one of the things that did happen a lot during some of these mini camps and earlier offseason workouts is Anthony Richardson's shoulder. He did miss some time. So, Jeff, I will pass it over to you. Is there a particular outcome with this quarterback situation that you are rooting for? Is there, you know, an angle that you think is going to be better for the ecosystem as a whole? Let me know.
I'm rooting for an Anthony Richardson switch flip, like Wyatt said, where, you know, he has Cam Newton, Josh Allen in his range of outcomes. Unfortunately, he started as that not so great rookie year Josh Allen archetype and then regressed from there. You know, one of the worst passers in the league, one of the worst completions percentages. That would be the most fun. The thing that I think is going to happen is I agree with Wyatt. Daniel Jones is going to start as the quarterback. I'm also iffy on this shoulder being healthy. You get these reports that players are healthy. Well, healthy enough to go to practice doesn't mean that he takes a wrong hit and all of a sudden the shoulder is a problem again. And with both of these guys fighting in training camp, they're going to be playing in preseason and they're going to be playing in preseason against guys who are trying to make a point. So I'm worried that Anthony Richardson is going to re-aggravate the shoulder trying to run the ball in preseason and getting hurt. I do prefer Daniel Jones because, well, if you have Anthony Richardson, rest in peace to all your Josh Downs shares for 2025. It's going to be a problem. Rest in peace to Tyler Warren shares, who's being drafted very, very highly for a rookie. And Michael Pittman, people are bouncing, counting on a bounce back, people being me. If it's Anthony Richardson, it's going to be ground and pound. It's going to be running the ball a ton. And ideal Anthony Richardson destroys all those fantasy options, whereas ideal Daniel Jones lifts them up. You can see him having a better season. Neither are great quarterbacks, but for the most fantasy options to be viable, I am rooting for Daniel Jones.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely it's a case that I outlined back in April. I did a post-hype sleepers article for the website. I'll have the link to it in the description for anybody who wants to read it. Josh Downs is kind of the first name that I'm really rooting for, and it's all predicated around this idea of Daniel Jones possibly becoming the quarterback. And if that ends up working out, I think outperforming his ADP is something well within the realm of possibility. But otherwise, the only asset within this offense that I feel is fairly well insulated from pretty much any outcome, I guess, would be running back Jonathan Taylor. According to our ADP, being picked as the RB10 with the pick 304 off the board, I think he's probably fine no matter what happens. So I think if you want to invest in this offense and not really worry too much about who's going to be the quarterback, that's going to be your only avenue. Otherwise, we're going to have to just comb through all of the camp news make sure we stay on top of everything and figure out who's really pulling away with this before all is said and done. Now, obviously, Indianapolis is not the only team in the NFL dealing with figuring out who their quarterback is going to be. And there is another team that has more than two guys, potentially. It could be upwards of four players vying for this starting role. They are the Cleveland Browns quarterbacks. There's a lot. But fortunately, we have ourselves a dedicated Cleveland Browns fan on the show to help talk to us about this. So I will throw it back to you again, Wyatt. This is your account. This is your neck of the woods. Yeah. This is your whole thing. Could you give me? Yeah, it's got to be a real doozy. Do you have any feeling whatsoever, one way or another, who this quarterback is going to be for the Cleveland Browns? There are a lot of names. I'm sure you're going to mention who they are, but just where is this wind even blowing?
So Joe Flacco definitely seems to be the leader in the clubhouse right now to start the season. There are some rumors that the Browns want it to be Kenny Pickett because we know that Joe Flacco is not the future. He is a stopgap. Pickett theoretically could be the future because he's younger. But, you know, what we've seen from him so far in the NFL is not that inspiring. But I think they want him to be the guy more than Flacco. It's just Pickett can't beat Flacco in a QB competition, so that's unlikely to happen. But I also think that we could see both rookie QBs at some point, because again, Joe Flacco is not the long-term answer. Now, if they start out with Joe Flacco and this is a competitive team, they're gonna have trouble actually pulling Flacco out, because they need the wins for the city. You know, us as fantasy fans don't like to hear things like that, but like, teams want to win, owners want to win, players want to win. So when they're winning, they're usually going to keep that recipe going. But I don't expect them to win many games because this is a bad team. So eventually, I think Joe Flacco is out of there at some point, just because it gets to a point where, why not? The season's gone. So I think Shedeur Sanders will get the first shot between him and Dylan Gabriel. I know Dylan Gabriel got drafted first. I don't think the Browns ever expected Shedeur Sanders to be in the fifth round. I know, like, that press conference looked like they were being held hostage after the draft pick. But I think there's a bit of, well, we reached this point. If he is a headache, we can withstand this cost for the headache. But it seems like Shedeur Sanders he's possibly flipped the switch now since he's gotten into Cleveland. He's doing all the right things. You see all this stuff about him going and doing stuff with, like, children, like doing these events, you know, and things like that. Like, he's doing the right things right now, which I think, like, I think no one would deny that Shedeur Sanders has more talent than Dylan Gabriel. It's just a matter of him having his shoulder or head on his shoulders right, which I think he's at least down that path right now. So I think we should see Shedeur Sanders at some point. I think Dylan Gabriel could be seen if Shedeur Sanders does not perform well once he does get a shot. And I think there's a chance that Kenny Pickett gets traded at some point, before the season or in season, if someone finds himself in QB trouble. Because, like I said, he can't really beat out Joe Flacco. And while he's theoretically the future, I think the rookies are more the future than he is. So he's kind of in this weird purgatory situation in the QB room.
It's really interesting to hear, especially because, I mean, the more you dig through some of the layers of this, it's like, what's that old thing that they always say, whatever head coach it was way back in the day that came up with the quote, if you have two quarterbacks, you have none. Well, if you double that number and end up with all of the, like, there are so many different, like, contingency plans for, like, well, if this happens, then we're going to get this. But then if that happens, well, I mean, it could ultimately go over to this guy and then all this stuff. So, Jeff, I ask you, with all of that in mind, are we just fading the Browns in general? Is the lack of any sort of certainty with what could happen even by the middle of the year, let alone the end of the year, impacting your feelings on anybody, just all of them in general? Or is this something where you're like, look, we know this is probably going to be a bit of a crapshoot, but we know what David Njoku is. We already know what Jerry Jeudy can bring to the table. Are you just trying to, you know, rest a little bit more on the information we do have rather than the information we don't? Or, I don't know. You let me know.
Well, my thought on it is we saw both those players, Jerry Jeudy and David Njoku, flourish with Jameis Winston last year, who isn't the most reliable quarterback that you can see. So I am basically accounting for that being somewhat the floor in terms of average production. I think that in terms of the quarterback situation, I do agree. I think Joe Flacco gets the first run at it. And I think whoever gets the second run at it, it depends on where they are in the season. If they're 3-0 and Joe Flacco goes down and gets hurt, they might be going to the Dylan Gabriel here, because Dylan Gabriel is just, he's a guy. He's a low ceiling, high floor, you know, gonna peak at the 35th best quarterback in the NFL type of player, sort of like a Davis Mills type in terms of like overall talent level. If they're 0-8 and Joe Flacco gets benched, they're gonna say screw it, and I think they're gonna run out there with Shadur, because Shadur could be the next big thing. If he gets his processing right, that was my one big knock on Shadur Sanders. It always felt like he was a beat late in college. If he gets that processing sorted out, then he could be the next big thing. He is very talented. It's just the processor is just half a beat too slow for me. All in all, I am bullish on Jerry Jeudy, David Njoku, nobody really else in the passing game. I think that those two are far and above everybody else. And I think that they're both so talented that we've seen their quarterback proof. Well, except for David Njoku and Deshaun Watson. Those two couldn't seem to get on the same page. But
yeah,
that's kind of how I feel about the situation. I'm not particularly bullish. While I like Cedric Tillman, I'm not particularly bullish on him this year because of the quarterback situation. It's just those two guys for me in the pass game.
I feel that for sure. And, you know, as we discussed in last week's episode, obviously the backfield has its own issues. We'll see what happens with rookie Quinshon Judkins. We'll see if there's any sort of, you know, suspension looming from that. But obviously it's still a lot of information that we have to sort out, a lot of things that we still have to see happen. And speaking of things that still have yet to happen, we have to take a quick break to hear from our commercial sponsors. But on the other side, we will get into more fantasy football talk about some of these training camp storylines. And we are back. This is still the Crossing Routes podcast, fueled by FTN Fantasy. It's Herms. It's my buddy Wyatt. It's my buddy Jeff. And we're talking about training camp storylines. Before we get into our next team with a pretty intriguing situation to follow, Wyatt, do you have any other notes that you would like to share to round out our discussion on the Cleveland Browns?
Yeah, just like Jeff was talking about before the break, I think you could still rely on those pass catchers for the Browns offense, specifically Jeudy and Njoku. I don't mind Cedric Tillman a little bit late on base just because of his cost is as far back as it is. You can take a shot on him because this is a Browns offense that runs a lot of plays. Kevin Stefanski is no stranger to just running as many plays as he possibly can fit into a game and dropping back to pass a lot when he's behind. The Browns were first and tied for first in plays the last 2 years. Yes, there's some overtime games thrown in there. You got to do a little math on that if you'd like. But the point is that Kevin Stefanski runs a good offense and knows that he needs to run a lot of plays if he wants a chance to win. And that's fantasy gold for us.
Oh, I definitely feel that. And definitely a really important thing to keep in mind. So fantasy managers, take notes. If you have a notepad and you're listening along, please write some of these things down. It's going to be critical for you to remember these things. But when it comes to running good offenses, a guy that we're not entirely sure is capable of doing that is Mr. Brian Schottenheimer down there with the Dallas Cowboys. It's a whole new thing in town with Dallas. We're pretty excited, I think, generally speaking, about what this passing offense can be. CeeDee Lamb is a great player. When Dak Prescott is healthy and on the field, we know that he can deliver some pretty quality targets going in that guy's direction. Now, they also have George Pickens in the fold to throw the ball to. And that's not even mentioning the impact of tight end Jake Ferguson. That part of the offense, pretty good. I think we're all pretty excited about that. But then there's the other part of the offense, these running backs. So, Jeff, I'll throw this one to you. How are you viewing the Dallas Cowboys backfield? Is there any particular player you're interested in more so than anybody else? Or are you just kind of just playing this by ear?
Well, I'm going to start off with a disclaimer saying that I am a Javonte Williams skeptic. I have been ever since he was sharing touches in college. He did get a slight chance to be a full-time back and promptly tore his ACL and LCL. We haven't seen him get back to that dynamic player that he was in college. And he really is kind of just becoming ideally a part-time back. And because of that, I'm not super thrilled about drafting him. I think he's only like, I have to be a company man here. I have FTN's ADP up here. So
you love right to now, see it.
Yeah. right now he's going as pick 105. I'm a big, actually, Jaden Bluehead. Not a big Phil Moffa guy. I do like Jaden Blue. He does remind me a bit of Jerick McKinnon, who in the correct role, if we remember when McKinnon signed with the 49ers, he was ever so briefly, he kissed being a first round pick. So I do see that type of upside, especially because you don't have a lot there. Like CeeDee Lamb's going to soak up a ton of targets. George Pickens is going to be sort of like a deep ball, deep threat guy. And I kind of feel like there's a lot of there to offer for Jaden Blue, and he's much cheaper. He's going three rounds later. He's 130 in the 130s. But I feel like Javonte Williams is going to peak at like 13 touches per game, which has value, but it's more like a flex play. And I don't see there's a lot of upside there for Jaden Blue. For Javonte Williams. To the Miles Sanders point, I kind of feel like Miles Sanders could steal that 1A role from Javonte Williams, but I'm not drafting him to do that unless it's like a best ball thing. In any managed league, I'm kind of keeping my eye on it. And then Phil Moffa is just a battering ram. He's, you know, if you're still playing in the 1990s touchdown only league, I guess go get Phil Moffa as a sleeper. But otherwise, I'm not super interested in Moffa.
Not definitely good to know. Definitely good to. I think ruling players out to begin with is probably a good place to start for some of these situations. So hey, we can maybe, you know, cross that name off the list. Wyatt, do you feel similar about Mr. Moffa? And is there any part of this backfield that you're more excited about than any other?
I think the easy answer to which Cowboys running back you want is no, thank you. I'd prefer just to play the Cowboys through the passing game if I'm going to be drafting players from that team. And I am excited for the passing game. I agree with you, Herms, about that. But, you know, just breaking down the players, like Javonte Williams, first off, as Jeff mentioned, has been nothing compared to what he was as a prospect since he messed up his knee. He's just not even remotely close to the same player. I mean, just last year for the Broncos, he had over 200 opportunities, with 70 of those being targets, which we know is fantasy gold for running backs, and he couldn't muster 10 PPR points per game for the season. 9.3 on the year. That kind of tells me everything I need to know about where he is as a player at this point, and I don't expect him to get that many targets for the Cowboys. And I don't really care how many carries he gets, unless they're on the goal line, which I'm not sure how many of those he's going to get. Honestly, I think he has a similar projection to Miles Sanders, who signed for similar money, a little bit less than Javonte, but similar money. As far as I know, they're basically competing for that first shot to be the Cowboys running back as that, you know, kind of grizzled veteran for them back there. Just someone basically to be a meat shield for Dak Prescott when he drops back. But if there's one player who I'm going to take some shots on, and, you know, in best ball leagues, when you're drafting a lot of teams and you want to kind of, you know, weigh some exposures there, I'm going to be drafting some Jaden Blue, because he is somebody with legit speed, legit passing skill. It's just he might be closer to, like, at his best, a James White type of player, where he's only getting a handful of carries, maybe, but he's getting enough targets that we can dig his fantasy value week to week. And this should be a good passing offense. So, like, that's an exciting role in the offense if he gets it. But I'm not that confident that that happens, because are they going to trust him on third downs at all? Or will they only give him manufactured targets? And will that be enough? So I'm not drafting a ton of Jaden Blue, but if I'm going to draft from this backfield, I will draft Jaden Blue sometimes when I want to make sure I'm, like, getting some exposure. You know, and his cost is pretty darn cheap at this point, so it's kind of easy to get in on if you want to get some exposure to him.
Yeah, and one thing too, just to Wyatt's point about Miles Sanders versus Javonte Williams, it's very much the meme where it's one guy says something and it's, "Oh, you're so sweet," and the next meme is, "Hello, HR," where it's Javonte Williams was let go of Denver, signed for, you know, an amount of money, and is now fighting for a role in Dallas. Miles Sanders doing the same thing. The only difference was Chuba Hubbard broke out in front of him, and, you know, Chuba Hubbard is relegated Miles Sanders to being the "Hello, HR" guy, you know. So going twice as late, 254 by ADP. So, you know, between Javonte and Miles Sanders, if I had to pick one, I would go at Bryce. I would just go Miles Sanders, but I'm not excited about either one, like Wyatt said.
Unfortunately, that is going to be all the time we have for this episode, but there will be a part two to our training camp conversation, because there are still a lot of storylines that the three of us haven't been able to touch on. So you're going to have to tune in again on Thursday for part two of this conversation. Think of better.
staying up and sleeping late.